everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Automated Millionaire video / podcast. Whether it's a video or whether it's a podcast, it all depends on where you're watching it or listening into it. But at any rate, I welcome you here. Currently, we are in a series of episodes in which we are looking at the secrets of a top business turnaround agent. And again, a business turnaround agent is a business consultant who basically is able to come into a business that maybe he knows, or he or she knows very little about. It may have, it may be a business that operates in an industry of which the consultant has little to no experience of before. And yet, this consultant is able to help the business owners and his and her team to make a better business, to maybe turn this business that may be in a real hard place, maybe it's struggling very sincerely, maybe it's even close to bankruptcy, and yet this business consultant is able to turn this business around within very, very short time, maybe sometimes even as little as a few weeks or a few months. And the secrets of how is this person able to do this when the business owners and his or her team have been unable to do so, have been unable to take what probably was a good business at some point and then turn it onto back onto success again out of its trouble. So currently that's the series we're looking at. These are the secrets that I have extrapolated from having helped over hundreds of companies on site in person and extrapolated from the system and the methodology and the methods that I use and the tools and the experience that I've used in those companies. And so what I've done is I've extrapolated these secrets, and I believe that these are some of the key elements that are crucial and are the key points that are helping me to have been successful in helping a lot of people. I'm bringing this online in the hopes that maybe you as a business owner can take these steps and these secrets and then maybe turn it into something that you can apply yourself in your business so that you can have a better business. So whether your business is struggling and needs to really pull out of that, this should be able to help you. Whether your business is doing really great, but you actually want to take it to a much higher level, maybe make a much more smoothly run operation, maybe be able to actually become much more of a business owner that will afford you to leave the business while your team takes care of handle the daily operations, or whether you just want to make more money for whatever reason, well, then these secrets should be able to help you. Last time, some of the secrets that we spoke about, including that of establishing a management team. I very briefly spoke about the roles and the right persons in the right seats and so on. We didn't go much into detail about it, and I'm not going to do that today either. But the next secret is tied into the management team, and that is the secret of that anybody, a good business leader or anybody who's leading other people and so on, one thing that they're really good at and one of the traits that makes them really the best of leaders is the fact that they develop other leaders. So it's not a zero-sum game. It's not that, well, you're a great leader and therefore nobody else can be a leader and nobody else should lead or nobody else should evolve too much and what if they come and strangle my position and so on. The reason I'm talking about this is that I've had several mid-management leaders in some of the businesses that I've operated, and whenever we were hiring new positions for one of these departments, and I sat in with the business with that team leader, and we were discussing, you know, which candidate we liked, which candidate we wanted for the position, and so on. One of the things I saw with more than one person, so very often I would actually see this, were that the mid-management leaders were often very scared that if the candidate actually showed traits of ambition, showed traits of confidence, showed traits of, you know, sharp elbows, wanting to move forward in the world, they actually got afraid of their position. They got afraid of their, you know, future career development, that they would rather talk this person down in terms of choosing this person and rather take somebody who is more, shall we say, a kind, nice, meek, maybe, somebody who's going to be much more of a follower. But the greatest leaders, they actually promote leadership in people. And, you know, it's not necessary that we all have to become leaders to a large extent. I don't actually think that that is possible. I don't actually think that would be a good path to choose. But the best thing is that you actually look for more leaders in your business and operation. And the more that you can make those leaders into better leaders, the better you'll be and the better your business will be. For you as a business owner, what it really means, and especially when we talk about that management team, is that, just like I said in the beginning of this episode, is if you can step back and remove yourself out of the daily need of you being there physically or actively in the business to make it perform at a high level, well, now you're actually winning. I mean, that's really what you want to be doing. I believe it was in the last episode also, I spoke about the limousine service company that I owned for 14 years. And in all of those 14 years, although I grew it very rapidly and very successfully, and it was the largest of its kind in Denmark, and it was outperforming my competitors at the rate of 3 or 4 to 1, then I pretty much never set foot in the business. I only did so when I absolutely needed to. I only did so to kind of show face, and even that was only like, well, a drop by of, you know, 10 minutes to 50 minutes, 20 minutes, and then I was off again. And yet I was able to get this business going, and it was a big change from when I took it over. In fact, the first year alone, I also mentioned that we grew the top line by more than 3 times. So in other words, within the first year, we tripled, actually about 3.5 times, the previous owner's results for the year prior to me taking it over. We also increased the earnings before the interest, taxes, amortization, and so on. We increased that by 32 times, so a 32-fold increase, all within the matters of the first year of ownership. So although I wasn't in the business, I actually managed to get a very large result. And so one of the big things I attribute that to is, of course, my team. It is, of course, the people that I had. Now, don't get me wrong, because as a side note, I actually had to fire the entire team that I took over from the previous owners. Not because I really wanted to, but because I felt like every time I came in there and said, listen, I have looked at things and I want to do this change and I want to make this happen and so on, then they say, oh, no, you can't do it. It's going to be the end of it. The business is going to go under. You're going to lose all the clients and so on and so on. So I had such a huge resistance that, quite frankly, and yes, I was a little bit younger, so more brash maybe also. But quite frankly, I was like, I will never get anywhere with a team and team members of this sort. So I actually resorted in the end, after too many tries of, you know, banging my head against the wall, to pull the plug on the team, let them go, and then started over with a brand new team. And this was scary, because you can imagine this team had all the connections and all the knowledge and all the know-how and how we're doing things and so on with the entire business. I had none. I had come from outside buying the business, so I had none. My new team members that I found had none. But they were the team members that actually helped me carry out all the daily operations. So we will talk in other episodes about how I made that happen so that, you know, I could be away from the business and yet again get such great results without even being there, that I could maintain control of key elements of the business, but not be needed for therefore, you know, deciding who takes which car to meet which driver and which job and so on. All the daily minutiae and so on were left in hands of team members. And of course, those team members had a team leader. And so the point is that you really want to create team leaders. So anything you can do to help and promote and help your employees grow on every level of your organization is going to be fruitful and come back to you many, many fold. Yes, you may have leaders or people who grow and develop so much that eventually they choose to opt out of your company and go somewhere else. But you know what? That is actually a good thing for you in the sense that you have been one of the key elements of making that happen, making this person grow. So by all means, you don't want to hold back, and you definitely want to understand how can you grow better leaders. I spoke in the last episode also, I believe it was, I spoke about leading with authority. And I want to just go back to that very briefly. And when I said about authority, and you have to establish authority, it's one of the secrets we talked about. It's not from the matter of you having a position. It's a matter of you being confident in where you're going. It's a matter of you as a leader that you have a vision for what can be that is now. Maybe even a vision that stretches everybody's imagination, and maybe a vision that is so sky high. You know, this weekend that we just left when I'm recording this, Richard Branson made the first interspace travel. It is this dream that they created about 14 or 17 years ago of man-made travel into space. The story behind it was actually Peter Diamandis, who I really respect highly, who is super brilliant. He set up a goal of going into space. He himself personally really wanted to go into space, and he was like, well, how can I ever make that happen? Well, eventually he came up with the idea of setting up a prize for promoting that private entities would bid in with their expertise and know-how, their knowledge, and their money, their resources to make such a solution happen. And several people actually bid in, several companies bid in, and so on. At the end of the day, the prize was won by a company that came up and said, well, we can make this flight happen. He had specific ways of determining who would that be. And on the day of celebration of giving this prize away, Richard Branson flew in and participated. And then he contracted an agreement with the company to be the one who's actually going to take it with their new company that they then called Virgin Galactic. And yesterday, I believe it was, they just had that first flight. So it was a great success. 14 years later, I believe it was, to see that happen. As a funny note here, just a little anecdote, Peter Diamandis, of course, didn't have $10 million to give to this prize. And he was, you know, of course, like we all would be freaking out about how is that going to be happening. And after a long time of running his head against the wall and so on, as many entrepreneurs do, he actually had somebody who had a great interest in space travel, in space altogether. And this was a daughter and a father who had just sold a telecommunication company and so on, and of course cashed in a lot of money. And so they got in touch with each other, and the daughter there, she said, that is absolutely the thing I want to be part of, and so on. Long story short, they call this the X Prize, and Peter Diamandis has gone on subsequently to make a lot of similar prizes in a lot of different areas, such as health and communication, a lot of technology-driven innovations. So I really highly recommend that you look into more about Peter Diamandis and follow everything that he's doing. It definitely gets us to think outside of the box and reach further, ask for something unrealistic, go for something that seems unreasonable. Peter Diamandis also have a couple of books, and I definitely recommend that you read those. They're very inspiring books. Anyways, long story short, it's you want to develop leaders. And when I speak about authority, it's not because you have a position that you show authority. No, it is because that you can show a courage sometimes when things are bleak, an internal confidence that you are going to take everybody in the team and the business to new heights. Even when you're coming out of a struggling position, or even when it seems like you're going down into a struggling position. And that is leading by influence more than leading by authority, or leading by, you know, dictatorship, or I have the position to do so. So that is the first secret we're going to discuss today. The last secret I want to discuss today here then is that we spoke about this team that we have established, and now we also want to establish weekly management team meetings. And so what it is that you meet once a week. I usually like to have it early in the week, so preferably Monday, Tuesday, so that you can go and meet together all the team leaders of the different departments, all the ones who are sitting in the roles of the most important critical parts of the business. And they're typically leading other parts of the organization, leading other employees to make everything happen. You want to cover three key areas of your business. If you remember in one of the previous episodes, we talked about that the business really can made up of, you can kind of like compartmentalize it into three buckets. The first one is sales. I said that, you know, without the sales, you don't have a business, you have nothing really. So sales is, you know, say, well, this is where we get the work. Then you have operations. And operations is where you make everything happen that's necessary to carry out in order to make the sales be fulfilled. So if it's a production company, well, this is where you do all your production. This is where you are sawing the wood and cutting it into size and sanding it and putting it together, or whatever it is you are producing. If you're delivering services, well, this is where you're actually going out and delivering services. You had a team of employees, you know, service techs or whatever it is. They go out and deliver upon the services that has been sold. And then finally, so that's where you do the work. So you had the sales, get the work. Then you have the operations, that's do the work. And then finally, you have the last bucket, which is where we keep score. It's basically where we get paid and we keep score. This is where bookkeeping relies, and we call the entire bucket, we call it finance. So it's where all the financial aspects of the business go in, and it's where you make sure you also keep a track on the business and so on. So you're definitely in the team management meeting. You want to have a representative that takes care of, you know, who's in charge of all my sales, you know, who's my sales team leader, for instance, and maybe you have multiple of them. But you want those to be representing, okay, what's happening in our areas of sales. In our operations, the same thing. You will have to have the team leaders of the operations. Maybe it's a foreman. Maybe it's an operational manager like I had in my business and so on. And then finally, you want to have whoever is in charge of your books. Maybe it's a CFO, or maybe on a smaller level, if it's a small company, maybe it's just a bookkeeper. But you want to have a representative of every one of these things. And in the management team meeting, this is where you will discuss, okay, we set out to do X by these measures. And then basically each department needs to come and then report on, okay, here's what we set out, here's what we accomplished. Here's where we're short, and here's maybe where we are on par, or maybe where we are ahead of the curve. And so by doing this way, you will actually ensure that whatever you set out to do is actually being done. If they come short, it's not necessarily about, you know, raising their finger and wagging them over their heads about it, but it's about getting their recommitment about, okay, well, we're short. What are you going to do this week to not be short next week? So in other words, you're asking them to recommit to the whatever they say they're going to be doing. So now it comes out of their mouths, which is a great difference between you dictating them and them committing back to you. And of course, you're going to find out, you know, what are the measures of what you need to do. We might talk about that in future episode. This is a very, very brief rundown of how to run the management team meeting. And what I want you to understand, which is the difference between what most people do by far, I've done this myself, is when they came short, I would very much go into the whole elaboration of why, you know, why did we not reach a goal? What happened and so on? And although as a, you know, the buck stops with you kind of leader, then you might want to question those things just in case of you can see, you know, are there any things that you need to look out for that could tear down the business or halt the business too much in the future? Maybe you have a problem that we need to take care of first. One of my mentors, he calls this an iceberg, right? The Titanic, you only saw the tip of the iceberg, and then the big bulk and the majority, like 90% of the iceberg, is actually below the surface. You can't see it. And so sometimes something that raises a flag may be a real big problem. And if you can spot them ahead of time, you may also be able to resolve those kind of challenges or issues before something bad really happens. But bottom line for this episode is that you're not really looking for the excuses, because guess what? They're just excuses. And everybody will have sound excuses for whatever it is they're doing and so on. And we don't need that. What you really need is people committing to where you're going, committing to what actions they will be taking, so that you get the results. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll cut this short. These were the two next secrets that we have here in this series. I have a lot more secrets to come. If I implore you to really pick out these secrets, because they are very critical. You may find at times, and maybe I'm rambling, maybe it's taking too long to get there and so on, but believe me, these secrets have helped me, helping in excess of 100 companies in person, on site, where I was in the trenches looking at what's happening here. They were out of cash. I come in there, I charge a bundle of money that they don't have. So now they have to go out and secure more funding, and they're already losing money. You can imagine the kind of extra pressures and stress that puts on people. I certainly can empathize with it completely. However, it was necessary. And then, yes, was it worth it? Yes, it was. If you can save a company which is 35 years old and is going down the tubes, it's close to, you know, turning upside down, and maybe business owners are gonna, you know, close up the doors and run away, or maybe have to declare bankruptcy. And then we can turn that business around in matters of mere months. And so these are the secrets that I pulled out of restarting over and over and over, or more than these 100 clients that I helped in person. And so I'm sharing this with you so that you as a business owner may be able to better your business, to make more money, to make better, more streamlined business, to create more of the lifestyle that you probably hope for as an entrepreneur when you entered into this world of entrepreneurship and business ownership and so on. So I hope it's helpful to you. I'd love to have your feedback, love to have your comments, love to have your questions, and then I'll post it in future videos also on future podcast episodes also. If you want to reach out to me, by all means, my website is theauditmadeinmillionaire.com. For sure, you can always connect with me there via the contact page. But you might also find more information about some of the programs, courses, and coaching that I offer, which it certainly diminishes, it reduces a lot the investment size that you would normally have to spend with me in order for me to come out in person with your company. And then now instead you can access all of this information in very to the point video instructions, tools, transcripts, and so on, all accessible online. And you'll have, typically with most of the programs, you'll have an online coaching, a weekly coaching call, group coaching call, so that you can raise challenges that you have in your business right now, to which you want my perspective or maybe even some insight into, well, how can we solve that problem? My concern is to help as many business owners as possible. I know the stresses that it places on you when you are a business owner and money is short and things are not going the right way you want to do. You're not achieving the accomplishments that you want. And then you have all these obligations and you know it's going to be tough to meet payroll come next Thursday or whatever. So I know all those challenges. I know the stresses. I know how it spills over into your personal relationship, you know, maybe with a spouse. I know how you're stressed, and then now children will feel it. Your health may be diminishing and the whole world starts crumbling down. So I have been there myself. I've also seen the relief when I've helped entrepreneurs, when I've helped them get out of that, not only the person that I help, but also the person's spouse and the families and the brothers and sisters of the families and so on, and all the employees who are like fearing for their jobs and all their families relieved and so on. So the ripple effect is so huge, and I want to help as many business owners as I can. Most of us in business, well, we didn't have somebody to teach us. If we're lucky, maybe we followed somebody, and to some degree, unfortunately, that somebody, besides showing the trade of our business, invariably didn't carry out business in the best of manners. So this here is based on the best that I've seen, the best I've learned from reading over thousands and thousands of books over the course of many years. It's from reducing into, you know, deducting all the experiences, perspectives, and lessons that I picked up as actually carrying out entrepreneurship and business ownership in myriad of companies. And it's also from the help and insights that I gained from many, many, many of my professional colleagues within the business turnaround world. And I've been with some of the best. I would say I've probably been within the top 20 business consultants who have helped myriads of businesses. Collectively speaking, the business that I was with has helped more than 300,000 clients. So there's no way that I can personally help that many unless I take it online, unless I put it into programs and coaching and group coaching calls and so on. So that's why I'm inclined to do this. This is why I'm on my charge to do so. But behind all of that, my charge is to help as many people as possible. And so that you can have a better life and the ripple effect that it causes better lives for all your people and all the ones you care for and all your employees and their families and so on. Anyways, enough of that. I hope this has served you well. By all means, I'd love for you to hit the like button. It definitely will help me. I'd love for you to give me some constructive comments or any thoughts that you have along the way. I'd love for you to consider subscribing. It helps me and helps my message get out. And then by all means, like I said, connect with me. And if you want a great much more on hands or in, you know, step-by-step guidance to my business system from which most of these secrets have derived, then by all means, check out the Automated Millionaire Business System that you'll find on the automatedmillionaire.com. Again, this was Michael Pitzner. I am also known as the Automated Millionaire, and I hope that this has served you well. I'll see you in future episodes.